abundant life. Happy Labor Day weekend. Thank you for coming out on a holiday weekend. And those of you who are watching or will be, blessings to all of you. Well, for the last few weeks, I've been talking about the kingdom of God and specifically the parables Jesus told. He told some three dozen stories. We call them parables. And the reason he did was to provide in simple terms and simple illustrations the principles of the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. He would do it in story form in such simple terms that everybody could understand his point. The parables would almost usually begin with Jesus saying, "The kingdom of God is likened unto," or "the kingdom of God is as if." He talked a lot about the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. And he said to his followers, "The kingdom of God is within you." So I've been talking about some of the parables that describe the kingdom. Last Sunday, we talked about growing up and becoming greater. It was the parable Jesus told of the seed that was so small, smaller than any other seed in the earth when it began. But the farmer planted the seed, Jesus tells the story, and the farmer would go to bed and get up and go to bed and get up. Time would pass, and eventually there would be some growth. And Jesus said it was a mystery. He said the farmer does not know how that happens. But as sure as the seed is planted, give it some time, and God will give increase, and it will grow up and become greater. Jesus said, "For such is the kingdom of God, that we grow up and become greater." Last week, we talked about that waiting period after the seed is sown and before the crop is ripe with fruit, that it's during that time we have to say, "I believe God is working, even though I can't see what he's doing." Just like we sang this morning. Such is the kingdom of God. We talked about God being a God of increase, growing up and becoming greater. There is something inside each of us. It is the kingdom of God within us, and it is being increased as we are growing up and becoming greater. Jesus said, "For such is the kingdom of God." God is all about increase. The kingdom of God is being increased in our time. I have a question for you. It's rhetorical, but you can answer it to yourself. Will there ever come a time when you have more in your hand than you have now? Not just in your hand, but will there ever come a time in your future where you have greater influence than you have now? More effectiveness than you have now? Greater joy and peace than you possess right now? Will there be an increase for you? Because Jesus said the kingdom of God grows up and becomes greater like that seed. And so we should all be expecting increase and a sanctified abundance. For such is the kingdom of God. Will there ever come a time when you have more than you have right now? I want to talk about that this morning. Jesus held in his hands 5 loaves and 2 fish. He held in his hands what he knew was not enough. And the Bible says, looking up to heaven, he blessed what was not enough. Some of us need to begin there. We can look in our hand and see what is not enough. Let's begin by looking up to heaven and blessing what is in our hand, even though it may not be enough. God is all about increase. The kingdom groweth up and becometh greater. Will there ever come a time when you have more in your hands than you have right now? I want to read again this morning a parable, a different parable, and answer that question for you. Every word I will read is written in red. Jesus spoke every word. In Matthew chapter 25 and beginning at verse 14, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He gave each of these 3 servants according to their ability. And then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned more. Went to work and earned more. Went to work and earned more. Will there ever come a time in your life when you will have more in your hand than you have now? It may be determined by whether or not you go to work and earn more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 5 more." This good servant doubled the master's money. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." And the servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." So again, with the second servant, he doubled the master's money. Then in verse 23, the master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." And then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant to whom and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver." And then Jesus said this, "I ask you the question again, will you ever have more in your hand than you have right now?" In verse 29, Jesus said, "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance much. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Two of the three servants doubled their master's money, and one did nothing. I'm retitling this parable. It is a parable Jesus told, and I'm calling it Double or Nothing. Will there ever come a time when you have more? It depends on how you respect what you have in your hand already. It depends on how you manage what you've already been entrusted. It depends on how you leverage and use what little you might have now to your advantage. God has given us all some giftings. They are different. Some are more capable than others. But God has given to every follower a gifting and an opportunity to grow in that gift, to grow up and become greater for the kingdom of God by using the gift he's given you. God has given all of us something to work with, some gift, some ability. And he looked at these three servants, and God, who knows everything, said, I can trust this one with five bags. I can trust this one with two different abilities, different skill sets, perhaps. I can trust this one with one. And so he gave gifts and responsibilities based on a person's ability. But nonetheless, everyone had a gift and a part to play. Now, the focus of this parable is on productivity as opposed to being lazy. Now, this is a different kind of parable, but as we're growing up and becoming greater, it gives opportunity to address this important topic. We know we can't earn, no matter how responsible we are with our gifts, we cannot earn salvation. Salvation is by grace, God's grace alone. But this parable is not about salvation that comes by grace. They were all three already servants. This parable is, in fact, about our works, what we do with what God has given us, how responsibly we manage and handle the abilities God has given us. And he gave them to us with the intention that we be productive for the kingdom of God, which is within us, and it groweth up and becometh greater. This is not about working for salvation, but this is a parable about being productive for the master and for the kingdom of God. In James chapter 2 and verse 26, it says it truthfully, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, there has been an emphasis, and we've needed it, in recent years on grace. I don't think we can over-preach grace. There's really nothing any more important than the grace of God. It includes his unconditional love. It's all a gift from him. I asked someone this past week, which love is greater, God's love for you or your love for God? I think grace answers that for all of us. When we had no chance, no hope, not a clue, God took the first step and the only step that had to be taken, the supreme sacrifice, sent his son who died for our sins. That's why now we have the hope that comes only through Christ of being able to stand in the presence of God, and he sees us just as righteous as he sees his son Jesus. So it's all by grace. But there does need to be a balancing word brought into the narrative. Yes, we're born again by God's grace and our faith that he gave us to begin with. But we don't need to make the mistake of thinking that just because now we have our ticket to heaven, we're born again, and our eternity is a settled issue, that we can live our life with any kind of behavior, doing anything we want to do that may not line up with the word. There is a call to being productive for the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with your ticket to heaven. It has to do with the increase God wants to give into our lives and into the kingdom of God. A body without a living spirit in it is dead. And faith that does not have matching productivity over time and with growth is just as dead as a corpse without a spirit. That's what James said. Amen now. Philippians chapter 2, and the Bible does have a lot to say about being productive after you're born again, living right, living within righteous boundaries. There should be some changes occurring in our lives over time. It's a mystery. We don't know how, just like that farmer does not know how. I put that seed in the ground, and I went to bed and got up, went to bed and got up, went to bed and got up. I did that a few times. Oh, look here, something's growing. Next to, oh, it's growing up before it's over. Oh, it has grown up and it has become greater, for such is the kingdom. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, work out your own salvation. Even salvation, we've got to work it out. Well, now it's in the Bible. Don't look at me like I'm preaching false doctrine. I like to say it like this. The Holy Spirit works our salvation in, and we work it out. It begins with an investment God makes. He puts his spirit inside us, and it's not just in here co-ed and co-mingling with our spirit. When the Spirit of God moves into our lives, the Bible says there are not two spirits in here. The Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's why I understand what you mean. I've said it before, still do. The need to get closer to God. Well, that's really not the best phraseology, because how can you get closer to anybody that you're one spirit with? But there is some growing up and becoming greater. So the Holy Spirit works our salvation in us, and then we are responsible to work out our salvation. Proverbs 2:15, the Bible has a lot to say about good works, being productive. Solomon said, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Anybody ever invested in a Ponzi scheme? Oh, never mind. Hasty shortcuts. I'm going to remember that the next time I buy a scratch-off lottery ticket. You know, we used to preach against some things. Like the lottery tickets, well, I don't think I ever did, but back in the day when, you know, it was a new thing, and if you were a good Christian, you might not ought to buy one, and it was gambling and all that. I remember on House Springs Road, lottery was new in South Carolina. I referred to it in a sermon. One of our longtime faithful men in the church who's with the Lord now, Ernie Holland. You remember it, Judy. You were sitting beside him. He hollered out, you can't win if you don't buy a ticket. I said, that's it. That's right there. You may or may not win if you buy a scratch-off ticket, but you will be increased. You will grow up and become greater through good planning and hard work instead of taking a hasty shortcut. Good planning and hard work. Just think about that. Oh, good planning. You might have to get two brain cells connected in order to become productive for God. Good planning. And you might have to actually break a sweat. There will be some effort and some energy required on some days in order to grow up and become greater, so that we can be like the two good servants who gave back to God double, instead of like the one lazy, wicked servant who did nothing with what the master had invested in him. Now, getting brain cells together. Solomon said, good planning. Can you just imagine the conversation that these servants had, at least in their mind? Oh my, the master who owns it all, has just entrusted me, an humble servant, with this much. How can I invest and increase what the master has placed in my hand? It took some brain cells working overtime, probably. The creative ideas that had to come. You know, some people's life is in a mess. And they may think they need $100,000, or they may think they need this or that, or they may think they need whatever. But one good creative idea from heaven falling into your life could change everything. Hard planning, good planning, and hard work. Now, there's a committee in our head. These voices, this narrative. Don't you know these three servants called a meeting with the committee in their head? And they heard every argument, the pros and the cons, what's right to do, what's not right to do, all of this going on in their head. And we all have that committee, the voices. But on that committee sits the chairman of the board, and that's the Holy Spirit, and he speaks with a voice of authority louder than any other committee member in our head. Proverbs 12:11 says, "For those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense." I mean, it says that in the NIV or the NLT, have no sense. Those who chase fantasies. Now, isn't chasing fantasies fun? And we've all done a little of that. But the Bible says it's better to work your land or whatever God has given you. And if you will work, you will have abundance. If you do nothing but chase fantasies, the Bible says you have no sense. Proverbs 13:4 says, "Lazy people want much but get little. It's those who work hard that will prosper." Proverbs 12:24 says, "Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave." Now, this parable of the three servants that I've renamed Double or Nothing shines a spotlight on the responsibility and the accountability of every servant. I'm a servant of God. You are a servant of God. We learn through this story that we can take what God has given us, and even though it's small when we receive it, and we all have different measures depending on our different abilities, but we can use it for the advantage of the increase in the kingdom of God, or we can do nothing with it. But the day will come when each one of us as servants will have to give account. There is responsibility and accountability. I don't like preaching on this. But it's in the book. There is responsibility and accountability for each of God's servants. Now, in the 9th chapter of Luke, you know the story well. Jesus called his disciples together and he gave them authority. Do you realize that God has invested spiritual authority in you? We all have a measure. We all have influence over somebody. There is somebody looking at you and following your example. You have authority delegated from God Almighty. And leadership is the distribution of authority and responsibility. You will never find authority that's given by God without responsibility to match that authority. They always come together. A lot of people think, I wish I had more authority, but they do not want more responsibility. They don't want to be accountable for any more than what they have. But you will always find these two together, authority and responsibility. And when a person understands that these two are twins and they work together, then leadership is born and increased. God gives us all a measure of authority, and with it, God gives us all a responsibility. It goes back to the day of Adam. God came down and gave Adam authority over everything. Over the earth, over all of the animals, all of the fish that swim in the sea, and all of the creepy things that crawl around beneath the dirt. And God gave him responsibility. Adam, I'm giving you authority over everything. Everything I've created, you have authority over. Now, subdue the earth. Cause it to multiply. Responsibility. You'll never see one without the other. I remember Dr. Ron Cottle standing right here, and he made the statement. I wrote it down. He was teaching on spiritual authority, and he said this: every time we make a right choice, our spiritual authority increases. Every time we make a wrong choice, our spiritual authority decreases. And then he said, Satan gets his illegitimate authority from our wrong choices. Now, how about responsibility and accountability? Promotion, the Bible says, comes from God, but he will never promote a person to a level at which that person would be incompetent. Now, people promote others to a level of incompetence. You'll see it in corporate structure and in every structure that's man-made. But God never does. The Bible says he knows our frame. He knows how we're built. He's the one who made us. And the New Testament said he would never ask us to do anything we're not capable of doing through his help. Will never allow us to endure something that's unendurable. He knows us better, and he's better to us. That's why he gives us responsibility and authority to match our abilities, and then he watches. He goes away like this farmer or this traveling man. He went on a long journey, but he did come back one day, and it was the day of accountability from the servants, and two of the servants had doubled what God had placed in their hands, and one servant did nothing. Now, two showed great respect and responsibility, and they doubled the investment. But the worthless servant, I'm going to be nice to him because I'm a mercy gift. I didn't read verse 30. I was nice. Verse 30 actually said, Jesus said, that master said, take this worthless servant and cast him out. Send him to a place where there will be gnashing of teeth, weeping. Sounds a lot like hell. But I'm going to be nice to that worthless servant. And I'll just say he was given a pink slip. He was not honored and respected like the two servants who doubled what God had given them. Now, the Bible calls him a wicked and lazy. Now, listen. Jesus here equates wickedness and laziness. Wickedness and laziness are equal in God's eyes. Two of these servants were wise, went to work, they were productive, they understood a work ethic, they took responsibility for what was in their hand that they knew was not their own. It all belongs to the master. He's just entrusted each of us with a small amount based on our abilities to see what we will do. Two doubled, but the wicked, lazy servant did the bare minimum with what the master had given him. Those are words to cause us to shudder. In fact, actually, Jesus said he didn't even do the bare minimum. The bare minimum would have been put it in a bank and let it draw that half of a percent interest they're paying at Wells Fargo. I'm giving my sister an unpaid commercial right now. If you got any money and you want to trust it to somebody and let them keep it for you, take it to Deborah Poston at Wells Fargo. They'll lock it up good and tight in the safe over there. But they're not going to give you double back, are they, Deborah? They're going to do the bare minimum, maybe. Well, this wicked and lazy didn't even do the bare minimum. How many of us are not even doing what Jesus might consider the bare minimum? I'm not talking about trying to earn your salvation. That's pointless. We're beyond that. But now that we are in the kingdom and realize everything that we have in our hand really belongs to him, and he's entrusted some of it to us according to our own ability, and what are we doing with that when it comes to our part in causing the kingdom of God to grow up and become greater? I'm going to read what verse 29 said in the Amplified Bible. Jesus said these words, to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given, and he will be richly blessed so that he will have abundance. But from the one who has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away. I'm closing with Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 10. Jesus speaks these words as well. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. Luke 16, verse 10. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Verse 12. And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Notice quickly before we close, he's talking about natural things. He's talking about things. If you're not faithful in that which is another man's, who's going to give you that which is your own? So sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, well, all I have responsibility over is this pitiful, puny, little, tiny, overlooked, disregarded, unimportant, insignificant, menial task. That's all. It's just a natural thing. It has nothing to do with the Spirit. It's just a natural thing. No, Jesus said, we will be increased spiritually based on how we respect the little natural thing. Even if it ain't your own, if it's somebody else's, then take care of it and prove you can be responsible for God giving you your own. So Jesus knows this principle. He's reminding us today. That little bit you have in your hand, if you'll be faithful with that, if you will go to work with that, if you will add your work and faith together, that it will grow up and become greater and not always be this small, tiny bit we now hold in our hand that's not enough to meet our needs for life. And Jesus is reminding us, if we'll be faithful in that little bit we have already, faithful, go to work with it, then it will grow up and become greater. He knows if he can trust us with a little, we can also be trusted with the great. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. We want to begin with blessing the little bit. Blessing the little bit. And we will bless it to become greater.